Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
If I brought you one of the shirts, there's an XL and an X.
Oh, I would burn it outside. If okay, you would so like. You want to film that?
But you wouldn't wear.
Can I tell you a quick Syracuse
1831.
Story?
1831.
Yeah. There, my sons went to a birthday party last night. So it's mostly 7 and 8 year olds. So there's a 7 year old kid. He's got Syracuse shirt and Syracuse shorts on, and I go, "Where'd you get that?" And he's like, "My dad went there," and I went. And walked away. And then I realized the kid is 7. What is wrong with me?
Can't do that.
I'm a literal small man.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
And consequently, because we have two Georgetown guys here, Chris Saliza and Matt Kelleher, this show is dedicated to Ed Dievendorf. A big favorite of both of you, I'm
Eric
sure.
Eric Dievendorf. He's really
Eric
great.
Dievendorf.
Yeah, I was wondering who Ed was.
He was the original chin strap beard man, right?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, if you walk around Syracuse, New York, it's like chin strap beard central.
Okay. All right, Michael Kornheiser is also here. Claude is going to run the board for us today. Nigel is in New York. He'll be in New York for the next 2 weeks. He wanted us to call him. I left him a message. We wouldn't call him.
Yeah.
I don't really see the point
Why
in calling
would we
him.
Do that?
It just makes no sense to me. This is our last sort of, this is our last Monday show of the summer. Next Tuesday, the day after Labor Day, we're back full on. So we do 4 and 5 days a week for the rest of time. The summer has been very, very nice. We didn't do any pop-ups. I don't know. Nobody came to town who was interesting enough for me to talk to or who wanted to talk to me. A lot of people came to town who were interesting, but they didn't want to talk to me. So we're going to stick with the script and do a sports show today. And pass on one of the greatest news stories I've ever seen, the possibility of hacking into someone's life account from space.
Yep.
Chris, just lay that story out
just
briefly.
Just, I mean, it's
fascinating.
It's basically that there was an attempted, it's a lesbian couple, if I'm not mistaken. Who are astronauts.
And have a child.
Yes. And there is a, is it a custody
fight? Custody
fight?
Battle, apparently.
Right. And there was an attempted hacking into via... It happened in space.
That's the name of the movie. It happened in space.
to gain, I guess, confidential information, right?
Your partner.
Right,
and to deplete her accounts.
Yes.
So here is...
But the key is... It happened in space.
Right. I'm not going to dwell on this because none of us know enough about it.
No.
But the most unbelievable thing to me is this. Do you think everything you do in a space capsule is not being monitored?
I mean, right.
Are you nuts? Do you think there's private time, like 20 minutes a day in a space? No, there's not.
What happens in space stays in space.
Yeah. No one says that. Right.
Not a thing. The notion of that.
Every bodily
You thought you could get away
monitored?
With this?
Like,
yes.
You can't.
Yes.
There's cameras everywhere.
You're
literally.
A lab rat.
Yeah.
You cannot do anything in private. And by the way, you know that when you sign up.
Guys, I need about 20 minutes. Can we turn all the sensors and monitors off? It's cool. Everything's good up here.
So anyway, all right. So let me get to what I think is, even though it's a few days old, the biggest story in sports. We've not had a chance to comment on it. And that is Andrew Luck retiring. This happened, I guess, Saturday night.
Yeah.
I was unaware of it until Sunday morning. I mean, I wasn't watching the Colts game. And two things stand out. One, this is an extraordinarily big deal, I believe, and I could be wrong. It's 50-50. Extraordinarily big deal for the future of football in the United States of America, to me. This is a guy, he's 29 years old. This is a great football player, a guy who had a great year last year, who led a team that finished nowhere without him. Nowhere. Led them to the playoffs. And got better as the year went on. And he didn't play 2 years ago because his shoulder was ripped up. Andrew Luck, physically, by virtue of very bad general managing at Indianapolis, Andrew Luck got beat up in his first 3 or 4 years because the line wasn't there. And Andrew Luck is big and strong and athletic.
They won all those years.
Yeah, they won. He's very much like Cam Newton. Not quite as fast, but very much like Cam Newton.
And he's huge.
And
right.
he's like he Cam got Newton. Bounced around and really beaten up and ruptured spleens and broken ribs and all of those things. And then he tore out his shoulder, and we all made fun of him throwing a Nerf ball. But he came back in, and he was great. Now he's got what I think is fair to say is a rather mysterious calf injury. And he said, you know what? I'm done. All the joy for football has been wrung out of me. It's no good. It's a cycle after cycle after cycle of – you know, injury, rehab, injury, rehab, and I'm done. I'm out of here. This doesn't happen, kids. This doesn't happen. This is combined with the entire notion of safety in football. It's hard to look at this and not see anything other than, wow, football players understand it's not safe out there, and they're not going to stay forever. Now, Andrew Luck is different than most, if not all. Andrew Luck has a degree from Stanford, and Andrew Luck comes from a family with money. So Andrew Luck doesn't need this. 95% of the people, if not more, in pro football need the money, and they're not going to do this. But there's a part of me that wonders if we won't look back on this and say that was one of the turning points as people turned away from football. There's a second, though not as important story, and Kelleher's here, so I'm just prepping what's going to be the lead, basically. The behavior of the fans in Indianapolis. This is why, and I want to be very careful of the words I choose, this is why Indianapolis is a second-rate hick town. Oh. And has always been that.
It's good you were careful.
Yeah. Has always been that since Bob Irsay, a thief, stole a team from Baltimore in the middle of the night, I believe in 1984, but somewhere around then, and ran out of gas in Indianapolis and said, this is where we're going to settle. We will build our church here. This is where we're going to be. Indianapolis, that this is the behavior of, let me put it that way, using the ride-home convention.
Yeah.
This is the behavior of a second-rate hick town in America.
Well,
this guy gave his blood, sweat, and tears for you, and you booed him? You booed him on the way out?
Well, he didn't give all his blood, sweat, and tears.
Almost.
Up until he's
29. Yeah, up until that. So, you know, that's what... I know you have a basketball team. I understand you consider... You think you invented basketball. I understand that part. High school basketball, maybe you did. But for 50 to 80 years, Indianapolis was known for one thing. It was known as a pit stop in the Indianapolis 500. Emphasizing the word pit. I'm not a fan of Indianapolis. I'm really not. I'm really not. I mean, I'm not a fan of their sports. I mean, because you watch something like that. I wasn't a fan of the way the Colts went there. And you watch something like this, and you just say to yourself, what, you know,
they have that
what
beautiful Nordstrom's downtown.
All Nordstrom's are beautiful. They had, for years, they had one steakhouse. They had St. Elmo's. One steakhouse. Now they got a nice hotel, the Conrad. It's a very nice hotel. I've spent nice times in Indianapolis. That's inexcusable behavior. I open this to anyone.
I want to push back on you. Why is this not Jim Brown? Why is this not Barry Sanders? Why is this such a big thing? He's not retiring with a head injury. I could understand that.
Right.
Those guys walked away.
Jim Brown walked away for more money. He was going to be an actor, and he walked away for more money, and his legacy was set as the greatest football player to that point of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody ever disputed that. Hate to mention this, he's Syracuse guy.
Wow.
Barry Sanders, how old? He was in his 30s.
He was young like this. He had played more years than
Luck. Yeah.
But he still had good years left, right? No question.
I think the reason I'm saying what I'm saying is at that period of time, there was nothing called the, quote,
right,
safety issue, unquote.
That's true.
There was no concussion thing.
And to your argument, I think position matters here, and I think you have a protected quarterback, and that makes all the difference here, particularly one with as much promise as Andrew Luck.
Well, he's protected till he gets flat on his back.
Right, and that is the way he plays. But in terms of physical size, in terms of just how he plays, I do think that changes the scope of that conversation going forward.
And I think you get to...
How about the booing?
I mean, well, the booing is...
How about the booing?
He says in the post-game press conference, he says, look, I'm in constant pain. You know, it's not fun for me. And the crowd, boo!
Well, they booed before he said all that.
Did you see the people who have come out in support of him? Virtually everyone.
Yeah, sure.
People don't even know
him. Well, I think that...
So, you don't... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think that you're getting to the point, and you've seen this with less prominent guys. There's been offensive linemen. There's been a few people who have retired in their mid to late, sometimes mid-20s now. I mean, you get to a point now where you're...
Not of this star quality.
Not even close. You get to a point now where I do think...
Not a number one overall pick.
Now, given what you know about football and its long-term effects on your body, as Kelleher points out, this was not a head injury, but you know that this is something that can come. You could be one concussion away from potentially getting CTE at some point. I think that...
Or having to borrow another spleen.
Yeah, or lacerated kidney. I think you make the calculations, cost-benefit analysis. How much money do I need... for the rest of my life.
Different he's in this regard.
Because he comes from money. Yes. But all of these guys
made from football, by the way.
Yeah, his dad, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think the degree is a bigger benefit to him than, say, the background or the family background, because he comes from a community where there is value outside of football. All these athletes have the ability to make money outside of football. It's something that could be foreign to them or something that they don't know necessarily how to do or don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. I just think, let's just put it in a different context. Jordan Reed, Redskins tight end, just has his seventh concussion.
Gets hurt all the time.
At what point are you wealthy enough if you're Jordan Reed? You're a millionaire without question now.
Yeah.
Are you wealthy enough that going back out there, he can't be. Is Jordan Reed, I mean, look it up, but I mean, he's got to be in his late 20s, maybe early 30s. Is it worth, do you have enough money to live on? And then your competitiveness obviously factors into that. I mean, seven concussions is the stardom.
It's the stardom of luck.
The notoriety.
Quarterbacks don't do this.
No. Quarterbacks
don't do this. Tom Brady is 43.
My two examples were running backs, and they get beat up a lot more.
Especially quarterbacks now.
Get hurt. There was a guy at Cincinnati 40 years ago named Greg Cook, who everybody thought was really, really good. He kept getting hurt. He was broken. He didn't want to retire. His injuries forced him out. He couldn't get on the field. Andrew Luck, based on last year, can get on the field.
That's right.
And not only get on the field, can win. And he's walking.
I mean, you're talking about a position where Tom Brady's 43 and Drew Brees is 40. I mean, they play
and
longer.
Aaron Rodgers wants to play
longer
forever.
Now than ever before.
Can I put forth a devil's advocate argument for the fans?
Sure.
They're at the game. Right, so they're diehard Colts fans. They're at a preseason game. This news was stunning.
Yes.
And, you know, you absorbed it all on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
In other words, you absorbed it with the news, his comments, then the booing, or in some order of that.
The biggest news is the retirement. It's not the
voting. Of course. But what I'm saying is those folks got that. What was it? What did you call it? A second rate?
Second-rate hick town is what I called it.
But I'm happy to go back on that by the end of the show.
Pit stop with the emphasis
and
on
they
it.
Have the boo. Behavior. Booing is too far. I'm not justifying the booing, but they had to be floored by it. They're following day after day. Is his calf better? Is he throwing? He's moving laterally. Right, he looks like he's going to play. And then he just retired.
But what if he, let's just say,
you
I'm with you,
boo
but,
him.
But you don't know anything at that point other than there are Schefter is reporting he's retiring, right? What if he has cancer?
Yeah, right. Give
I mean,
him
like,
a chance
like,
to talk.
I mean, like, this is not the worst case scenario by any means, right? I
That's
mean,
right.
What if something is seriously, you know, terminally wrong? Like, you can't do that.
I apologize for attacking the entire city of Indianapolis.
That's just mostly a dump.
I have my prejudice against Indianapolis stems from the way the Colts got there. That's a very bitter pill to swallow. That changed sports in America. It really did. I mean, not quite as much as Al Davis moving from place to place to place, but to go in the middle of the night which nobody saw coming at all, was really terrible. And I didn't like Robert Irsay, and I don't like Jimmy Irsay. I mean, I don't think they're very good owners, although the Indianapolis Colts have been very successful Jimmy Irsay because they got Peyton Manning and all of that.
They have Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck.
Yeah, the booing bothered me.
I apologize
on the Indianapolis part.
I'm willing to listen to Matt's argument about how quickly you're trying to digest this news when you're in a stadium, when the real season starts, say, a week away. But I look at the Indianapolis situation. I think it's the perfect litmus test to where we are with professional sports. I was talking to Dad about this yesterday. I actually think the way that these fans are engaging with players, with Andrew Luck in the situation, it is a fantasy football world.
Totally.
And we are looking at this, how quickly do I have to go to the waiver wire? I look at these players as commodity. The distance from the stands to the sidelines has never been bigger. That rift is huge. These players are not really pillars of the community anymore. They are just transient pickups that are here for a week. And there is a promise with Andrew Luck. And there is an issue for me with sports when we look at that promise of potential. And we think of that promise as a bigger deal for us than, say, someone's personal safety or their ability to live a fulfilled life going forward.
Yeah,
we will ultimately talk about this on PTI, I'm sure, and for quite a ways to come, I would think. We'll get out of here now. We're going to come back with Michael Wilbon, who is not in Chicago, but he's not in D.C. Try to guess where he's going today. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Simply Safe ad. According to studies, only about 10% of break-ins are planned beforehand. The rest are spur of the moment, crimes of opportunity. In other words, random. July and August are when the most burglaries occur. And what's crazy is that only one in five homes have home security. Maybe that's because companies don't make it easy, and that's why Simply Safe should be your top choice. Simply Safe makes it easy. They protect every door, window, and room with 24/7 professional monitoring. They make it easy on you. Here's the copy. There's no contract. There's no hidden fees. Simply Safe has won a ton of awards from CNET to the New York Times as Wirecutter. Prices are always fair and honest, and around-the-clock monitoring is just $15 a month. But the one thing that truly makes Simply Safe stand out is their video verification technology. When other home security systems are triggered, a lot of the time police assume it's a false alarm and the call goes to the bottom of the list, not with Simply Safe. Using their video verification technology, they are able to visually confirm that the break-in is happening, allowing police to get to the scene 3.5 times faster than other home securities company. You know, that'd be a changer for me, I would think. Visit simplysafe.com/Tony. You will get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You got nothing to lose. Go now and be sure you go to simplysafe.com/Tony. And Simply Safe is not spelled the way you think. It's SimpliSafe. That's simplysafe.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Don Stewart, who writes, here's a song I wrote called Around Me. It's a sort of a love song. I write the songs and I do all the stuff, but Charles Cleaver plays the keyboards and mixes the songs, and he's the best. Thanks again for playing my songs. I can't believe you play them. We play them because we like them. He says, I'm really glad you found a new place to do the podcast, and I hope you keep doing it for a long time, because my wife and I really look forward to hearing the shows, whether you play my songs or not. Very, very nice, Don Stewart. He plays in Michael Wilbon, who I believe is on his way to New York. Would you like to explain? It's so odd that you're not going to Chicago or Los Angeles or Phoenix. What is sending you to New York?
The U.S. Open, which I used to do every year after you
failed. Used to do it.
You used to do it every year.
I loved it. I did. I loved it.
And like many things, I inherited something that you bailed on at the Washington Post, the columnist. And I did that for, I don't know, 10 years or so. I mean, probably 20 going to the Open. And I loved it. And so now the network wants me to go. It's the big match tonight. I guess, you know, a lot of people will be talking about it. We're going to talk about it, I'm sure, on PTI. Serena Williams, and not just Serena, but Serena playing Sharapova, who she has just dominated, you know.
Isn't it like 18 in a row? It's something absurd.
It's 19-2.
But it's like 18 in a row.
Yeah, 19-2. And, you know, but still there's a certain glamour to it, particularly in the first round.
It's amazing to me that that's first round. It has a nostalgic feel. And the reason is Serena is not as good as she was, and that's evidenced by losing late in Grand Slam events. But Sharapova, since she was found taking meldonium a few years ago, she's been nothing as a tennis player. Right, Mike? I mean, she's fallen off.
Well, Tony, she had some injuries before that, which is, I guess, is the speculation on why you would take whatever it is you took.
Yes, yes.
Try to just get, you know, even if you have to be suspended for a while, you want your career, you know, and particularly she's got to be at least 5 years younger than Serena. What is she still, 31 maybe? Serena's 37.
Sharapova's 32.
She's 32.
32, okay. So, you know, at that age, and they were talking about 2 and 3 years ago and all these injuries. I would see Sharapova in Arizona because the place there that a lot of athletes go to, not just sort of rehab, but train and rehab. And she was, you know, at Suns games. And I'm like, what are you doing here? And she was, you know, trying to get herself healthy enough to be the great player that she was briefly and that she wanted to be. And apparently, Tony, it just hasn't worked. I mean, I got to look this up before tonight, obviously. I mean, she worked her way back to a certain status, and it looked like she might have a second breakthrough, but she hasn't had it.
I'll just say this, in terms of ticket scalping. Serena Williams at night against Maria Sharapova, the only conceivable match in the entire tournament that could cost more to get to see would be Federer and Nadal. This will sell out. Huge.
But I wouldn't discount Djokovic in a match.
I do, because he's not glamorous.
You know, semifinal.
These are glamorous athletes.
New York. This is New York City.
Yeah, I grew up
there. This is not some place where you have to market the players. People in New York know their tennis. They know the U.S. Open. They know how important it is. I've seen matches sell out with a lot less glamour than Serena versus Sharapova. I agree with you that it will certainly be the biggest match.
Yeah.
You know what? When would Serena play Osaka? I mean, that may not have the historic touch to it. Like, listen, the last time I think that Sharapova beat Serena was 15 years ago.
I understand. And she won't beat her tonight.
You wouldn't think
she's
so.
Got multiple majors. And she probably sells more product around the world than anybody but Serena, if not more.
And they've never played at the U.S. Open.
Never
played at the U.S. Open. It's a great combination of circumstances that give you this Monday night.
Okay, over and, under 1 hour. What do you got? Because that would take three sets. Over under an hour.
I'm going to say three. I'm going to say Sharapova can force her three sets.
Okay, so that would be you take the over on an hour. Over an hour.
Yeah.
Okay. All right,
I'm taking the over.
Can we talk about the Cubs and the Nats a little bit?
It's a brief discussion.
Which game did you see?
The middle game. I saw that John Lester can't get a curveball, can't get a breaking pitch over the plate.
Right.
It was evident, Tony, in when he warmed up to start the game. And then, you know, when you come in from the bullpen, by the way, you can't see the bullpen in Chicago.
Right.
They have it like, you know, you see a photo when it's pictures when they have an HD camera out there, which is all the time. They're not trying to hide it, but they show you a lot of stuff. When Lester came out to just warm up before the inning, he couldn't get a breaking ball over the plate. And you're just like, oh, my God, how long is this going to go? Well, it didn't go long. And the Cubs, the Nats, this is, let me tell you something. You're not going to want to hear this because you know how I make fun of all of you homers for saying for the last 6 years every year the Nats are going to do this and Nats going to do that. And the Nats don't do anything.
They don't do it in the playoffs. They don't.
This is the best Nats team I've ever seen.
The bullpen is so terrible.
Fernando Rodney yesterday.
That's so terrible. Yeah. Like, I understand how bad the Cubs bullpen is. I saw it.
Listen.
The Nats is terrible.
This is the best Nats team I have seen. Can they be undone by their bullpen? Yes.
Sure. Sure.
I said this to you, maybe I didn't say this, you said it to somebody. Nothing undermines a team and morale like a bad bullpen. I know because that's what's happened to the Cubs in large part.
Yes.
In which you can have six or seven players not having career years but terrific years. And you get undone because you can't get anybody out after the sixth inning. So the Nats, I understand, they're afflicted. It's the same affliction. And it could undo them. But this is the best Nats team I've seen. And it's just so ironic, you know, as Harper leaves, that they didn't need. Signing him $300 million contract would have been the dumbest thing of all time.
But they need Rendon to stay. They need to sign Rendon.
Okay, we're talking about this year's team, right now.
Oh, they don't miss Soto and Robles and Eaton?
Him.
No, they don't.
They don't miss him.
And Rendon stepped up and had the year that Harper normally has.
Yeah, but Robles, I mean,
they're good.
Terrific.
They're good. Will the Cubs?
No, the Cubs are done.
Well, they won't even overtake the Cardinals. They don't make the playoffs.
No, they don't make the playoffs because you got three hard charging teams in the wild card, and the Cubs can't. They're defeated. They play like that. They don't play with enough for me fire. Now you know who that indicts. Obviously, if I say that, and I don't
manager.
I'm not a replace anybody. I'm not a fire anybody guy. This team has made the playoffs four straight years. Not the Cubs, it's somebody else. But they don't have it. And I don't see them getting it. The bullpen is not going to get better. They don't have the personnel. Like, the Nats bullpen may not get better because they don't have the personnel seemingly either. But I just think the Nats have more fight in them. The Cubs don't have the fight I want to see. I'm sure everybody would dispute it and say, you're calling us soft. I'm not. They don't have the fight I want to see. I want to see somebody. I told you, coming out of the break, it mattered to me less that the Cubs beat the Pirates and they swept them than I wanted them to hit people in the head the first three batters. Because I think you have to have a certain toughness about you in a day-to-day sport like baseball, a certain physical and mental toughness, and a certain ability, a certain Ty Cobb nature about yourself. The Cubs don't have it, to my liking. And so I don't think they're a factor. I don't think they make the playoffs.
Can I ask you?
Hope I'm wrong.
You were there in person on Friday, so mm-hmm. these are 3 day games, and I got sciatica, so I'm really not doing anything but watching television. So I'm watching. I tune in around 2:15, 2:20, whenever it was, and I see what I can't believe how hideous these uniforms are. They are the worst looking things I've ever seen. What did they look like in person?
And it's listen. It's every team.
Yes. Why?
Yeah, they're all the same.
Why?
There's only two options.
I'm not working.
Why did that happen?
Because I'm not working. I don't know. Because I'm not working, I didn't check it out.
Yeah.
I sat down. I walk into Wrigley Field, and I get there after the top of the first, where the Cubs already down 1-0. I get there, and I take Jordan. Jordan went to college today. Went to NYU, you'll be happy to know.
I am happy.
And so this was our last, uncle, nephew, sort of thing before he becomes a grown man and goes off to college. So I get there, he's in his seat already, and I just look at the field and I go, I'm sorry, am I transported back to 1880?
You're just awful.
What is this garbage?
Can I, Mike, can I fill you in?
The players clearly, it's really a players generated thing.
Here's what MLB.com says. They are simple and sharp, and they will help the creatively colored and decorated equipment, including bats, spikes, batting gloves, wristbands, compression sleeves, and catcher's equipment, pop.
Joe Maddon looked like a milkman.
He did.
He looked like a 75-year-old milkman who would deliver at 4 in the morning. Right, Mike? Didn't he look ridiculous?
Let me say this definitively. It's garbage.
What?
I don't. If there's symbolism behind it, I'm sorry. If there's a certain thing that if the agenda was pure and even charitable, I apologize.
I don't think it was.
What I'm saying. I want to allow for that when people start emailing you and not me. This is your show.
Right.
But it looked like garbage. It's a waste of time. And why anybody would do it for every team in the league to look the same for an entire weekend, it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
I'll tell you one other thing, and this was the crime. There are uniforms like the Cubs and the Red Sox and the Tigers that have lasted a very long time and look the same all the time. But there are no uniforms in baseball and maybe no uniforms in sports as iconic as the Yankees and the Dodgers. And they're playing each other.
Put them
in this garbage. You know what I mean, Mike? Not the Yankees and the Dodgers, right?
Can we do it? We don't do a story on this. Can we do happy trails to the ugliest outfit ever
sure.
worn? Listen, you know what's preferable to this garbage? The White Sox hot pants.
Yeah, the Bill Veeck White Sox. Yeah, it was absolutely
It was Players Weekend.
Preferable.
But what about the
Players
nickname?
Weekend?
Yeah,
what does that
players
mean?
Weekend.
What does that mean?
They had their nicknames on the back. You saw that. They had their
T3.
El Yolo.
Southern Thunder. And there goes another home run. Thank you.
I got mine. It just says Lace on the back.
Just awful. All right, you got to go. Quick thoughts, because we got to open the show, obviously, with Andrew Luck. It's a stunner to me. Total stunner.
Yeah, Tony, I was sitting in a restaurant. I was sitting in L'Oreal Plaza Saturday night, evening, and this alert comes over, and I finally started putting important sports news alerts on my phone. Of course, 90% of them are garbage, like those uniforms. And Matthew has had this stuff for 3 years, and he's only 11. And his phone goes off, and my phone goes off identically. We snatch our phones out of our pockets and it says, Andrew Luck is retiring.
Unbelievable.
And we start screaming in the restaurant. I mean, I believed it. I didn't believe it was a lie or a hoax or anything. It just was like, wow, he's not even going to give this any time. And because the Bears were playing Indianapolis, it had a certain immediacy to it. And there was more coverage of it, live coverage of it in Chicago by their own people who were there at the game, covering the Bears, obviously. And you're just like, oh my God, he's going to be gone. And I guess I understand his explanation. I get it. You would think that somebody would say to him, and I guess somebody did say, and he said, no, listen, you are 29 years old. He turns 30, I think, on September 12th. You don't need to make this announcement now. Why don't you see how you feel in November? Just go on IR. and see how you go into on the PUP list or whatever that used to be, whatever that's called.
Yeah,
that
still exists.
Go on that. Let's see how you feel at Halloween. Don't
because he's worth waiting for. They waited a full year and he got him into the playoffs.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but it's not about him being worth waiting for. It's not about the club. This is about saying to Andrew Luck, you're a young man. You're a very young man. You could play this position, not Tom Brady length of time, but 7 or 8 more years. You're not even 30. Let's see how this plays out. Let's see how you feel. It's interesting talking, Tony, to guys who retired injured when they retired, like our dear friend Charles Barkley. And Charles always says, you know, there comes a time where you feel good and you don't hurt anymore, and you're watching TV and you're in your 30s, and you say, I'm better than every one of these clowns. Well, and Bart Charles laughs about it, because then you say, wait a minute, I'm just saying this because I feel good. Well, Andrew Luck is going to feel good, and he's going to think that, and then what do you do? How do you correct it? How do you address it? There's a way if you don't retire. If you do retire, it's so complicated. It looks so bad if you then say, never mind, I'm coming back. And he doesn't seem like that kind of guy. He seems like a deep, 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 deep thinker. So I don't know what this is. I mean, in terms of, like, the first thing you wonder about is, he's a young man, how permanent is this? But because he's such a deep thinker, you say, my first thought is, it's permanent. It's Andrew Luck.
Yeah, it's not Rob Gronkowski.
Not Antonio Brown whining about a helmet.
No.
It's the single dumbest story in NFL history to go on as long as it has. And so I don't know. Again, it's shocking. It's not even that it's shocking. It's just a boom. It's like that lightning strike down in Atlanta at the golf course. It is just a boom of a story.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Thank you. Enjoy yourself. Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. Going to the U.S. Open. I used to go to the U.S. Open. He used to go to the U.S. Open. I liked it. I thought it was good. But it's a long day, kids. It's a long day. It starts usually at 11 in the morning, and it doesn't end until after midnight. And then you got to commute back to where you're staying, and then you got to get on a bus and do it in the morning against a long day.
Is Nigel playing in it? Did he qualify?
I think he got the wild card.
Wow, big news.
He got the wild card. So we'll be back.
Led with that.
We'll have news. Michael Kornheiser will do the news when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This comes from Rob Frank. The track is called Runaway. The album is called Keep On Keeping On. And he writes, thanks again for featuring the band on 2 separate occasions. I really do appreciate the support and the kind words that have been spoken on air. I have one more song from you. This is one of my own. This is from my debut album, Keep On Keeping On. It's not a new release, but I'm working on new stuff now. I hope to be able to share that soon. Not to be greedy, but if you like the song, please feel free to include it in any future episode. It's lovely. It pleases us no end, and I've said this for years now, that when we made the transition to the podcast and recorded music that you would be familiar with became way too expensive to have, that everybody sent in their original music. Michael, if people want to do that, how do they do so?
Send us your original music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And I won't even ask if we're selling anything. We'll wait till next week when we get back on the air full time.
Thank you, Dad. But if you are looking for a great TK Show golf visor or maybe a t-shirt to get you into that fall season, go to shop.tonykornheisershow.com.
All right, the news is yours.
Thank you, Dad. We are going to spend a lot of our time in baseball. I want everyone to realize that I'm not opening up with golf. I wanted to go to the Corn Ferry Tour, get ready for the season finals over there, but we're going to get to the FedEx Golf in a little bit.
And Steve Sands is going
to
join us.
Yes, so of course we're going to give that to Sandy. I will get to the payouts. No, we're actually going to start out on the ice rink, or should I say the ski slopes, with Evgeny Kuznetsov. It looks like the party never ended for our Caps player.
So this is to me a very large story. It's not going to be because it's hockey, but it's a large story. Kuznetsov comes from a total renegade country in terms of international law with
Indianapolis.
Drugs. No, Russia.
Vladimir Putin would like a word, Mr. Tony.
They dope their own players in the Olympics, and they've been found guilty of every malfeasance known to man in terms of doping. Okay. The International Ice Hockey Federation, to which Russia is a signatory, I believe, suspended Kuznetsov for 4 years 4 years. The NHL doesn't have to do anything because he was, it is believed, and they believe that he used cocaine. The NHL's position on cocaine is, if it ain't PEDs, we're looking the other way. Now, this is not marijuana. Marijuana is legal in certain states in the United States of America. So it's very hard for me to understand how you can pop somebody, you know, but cocaine is not legal to my knowledge. It is not legal. If this guy is gone for 4 years, and by the way, he clearly lied to the Capitals. should be no question in anyone's mind.
If only there was video.
Yeah, he lied to the, there's video, but the video just shows cocaine on a table. But in any case,
Shaggy would say it wasn't me.
He lied. Well, no, his position was, I didn't do anything that night. Okay.
Yeah.
That night.
Yeah, it depends on the meaning of is.
Right. If this guy, excuse me, is not popped by the NHL, it's, you know, open the door on anything you want to do in the NHL. I know that the NHL's rules are, if it's not PEDs, we don't have to do anything. And if you enter treatment, we may consider that to be enough. But if this guy plays all 82, that is a... doesn't Gary Bettman have to do something?
Yes.
They'll suspend him.
At least 20, right?
Yeah.
If not a season.
He was suspended for 4 years. I mean, is that the opening bid in that? I mean, I don't know what the International Hockey Federation's penalty structure looks like, but man,
it's a big move.
That's a heavy
hammer.
Big
move.
4 years is a lot of years. He can't represent Russia in any international competition.
Nope.
Before you forget the Olympics, in anything.
We got to get one of those Brendan Shanahan videos where he stands in front of the monitor and explains. See, there's cocaine on the table here, and that's why we gave him 26 games. If his opponent had gone out for 27 games, he would have gotten 27, but he only gets 26.
I'm sure the Caps fans will go crazy if he's suspended for one period.
Right.
But come on, right, Chris? He's got to go.
I mean, I would say it has to be. How long is the NHL system? Season
82.
Is 80? So a quarter of the season. Yeah, at least 20.
And that's still on the table because he has to meet with Bettman before the season starts. And I would not be surprised if the league comes out by saying, our first concern is making sure that if there is a substance abuse issue, that we take care of that, and the disciplinary action is secondary.
But what he will then say is, well, I went into rehab. I'm good.
Right.
I'm good. I'm clean. I'm fine.
That was this summer. Now we're in the fall.
Seasons have changed.
That is a guts to
But they have to have that collectively bargained at some point, right? There has to be some
drug penalties.
If you are a commissioner, you have the ability to act unilaterally on things of great concern to the league and the kids. What are you doing? They put him out for 4 years.
4 years.
Big move.
Wow. Okay.
All right, to baseball, we have Louisiana is your Little League World Series champions. We had Marshall Lequay hit a pair of doubles, drove in three, while Ethan Prather threw a two-hit shutout to beat Curaçao 8-0.
So you, as a child, you went and you were 12 years old, and you went to Bristol, Connecticut, and you were in the regionals.
We were in the regionals. We were the first D.C. team that got the automatic bid. Before that, D.C. had to go through Maryland, which was obviously a tougher path to go forward. We won 0-5. In doing so, Sam Neill actually had a strikeout record. New dad Sam Neill will be listening to this. One of the greatest sports experiences that I've ever had.
Did you ever, like when you watch the Little League World Series?
I watch it every night.
Is there a part of you that says, God, I wish I could have gone to Williamsport?
Yes, and I wish that it was such a big thing for ESPN. So you covered us in the Post and
I
actually did it
on
radio.
About it. Yeah, I did it
And that
every
became
day.
A tradition in this market. But
unlike
when you see the kids and the way they share their nicknames. So yeah, the players' nicknames for the MLB, that was kind of a... It didn't feel organic. It didn't feel genuine. When you just see the kids going up and down the lineups, it's like, oh, what's your nicknames? I hit bombs. They're 12
the
years old.
So because I go through the closet because I have nothing to do with sciatica and I rearrange the drawers and all of that. You still have your uniform.
Like I still what? Have yeah, still Real have my Kornheiser uniforms waiting for Young Walker and the Hammer to grow into them, which will be sooner than later. No, the Little League World Series is it's a very cool thing to share with your son. I'm looking forward to those years.
Yeah.
Can we go to majors?
Yeah. And there was a team, by
the
way,
I love
South
the Little
Loudon.
League World Series because we're off during that.
There was a team from South Loudon, from Loudon County. That was
the
Virginia team.
And they had two no-hitters in a row, and then Louisiana
Well, then Hawaii dropped them, and then Louisiana killed them.
Yeah.
Curacao, most famous major leaguer from Curacao, Michael?
Andrew Jones.
Andrew Jones.
Very nice. Yep. So we'll get to your Washington Nationals, because I know that's the only thing you want to talk about, and Fernando Rodney.
Get him out of here!
But to go quickly around the league, we might have had the Battle of the Bridges with Oakland and San Francisco, but the real action was happening down at Dodger Stadium in the Foxes You Bet Classic. Dodgers and the Yankees, could this be a World Series preview?
Well, Aaron Judge said so after the game.
Homers in all three games.
Yeah, and that was, and Kershaw gave up three homers for the second game in a row for the first time in his career. And Kershaw, he's getting older too. That would be fine to see that in the uniforms they belong in. That would be fine to see that.
Kershaw's nickname?
Kersh.
Yeah.
Very creative.
I would have said
to Michael's point about the inorganic nature of it, so brutal. Like, do you think people are like, hey, there's Hunter, what up, Southern Thunder? There's no chance anyone says that.
No.
I'm fascinated by this. We'll do this in the third
hour. Now to the National League wild card. I guess Mr. Wilbon is not paying attention to Fangraphs. It looks like the Cubs still have a very high percentage chance to make at least the wild card, though. They're going to be fighting St. Louis down the line.
Michael, you and your numbers.
St. Louis
has a vibe.
St. Louis goes for the sweep over the weekend. The Cubs lose all three at home for the first time since 2005 to your Washington Nationals.
He wants to fire Matt.
He said there's three hard-charging teams behind
them. No, there aren't.
The Mets have lost
the Mets
three in a row.
The Mets are terrible.
The Brewers are 5-5 in their last 10.
And the Phillies are done.
No one's charging.
The Phillies lost the game like
18-2.
And they lost in the second game of that series. They lost a 7-0 lead
7-0.
To the Marlins.
19-11.
And they're now down in the overall season series to your Marlins when the rest of the East is able
to
beat up on them. No, it looks like there's going to be a team from the Central and a team from the East in that wild card. And at that point, who cares if you have, say, a weak bullpen? Because as we saw with the Cubs in that ballpark, they can hit home runs.
Right. That's right.
So to your Nats and Cubs?
Yeah, I just want to say this, that the people that I go back and forth with, that I text with about this.
You have Chuck Todd.
We always get to the point where we become delusional. Like, I think the best thing that happened to the Nats all year is the jettisoning of Doolittle. I think he's terrible. And I'm glad he's not on the team. And part of me looked at what happened in the immediate aftermath of that and said, you know what? It's open now. There's competition to be the closer. All the relievers have gotten a little better, but they haven't gotten a little better. Yesterday, for example, the Nats have hit like crazy in the last week. They've really put up double-digit runs in games. They've gone out to leads almost every single game, then they've blown most of them. Well, not most of them, but some of them. Yesterday, Strickland comes in. They're up 5-2, and Strickland comes in, and you go, okay, he gives up a home run. You shrug. You go, you know, that's what they do.
He at least got three outs.
By the way, Vic Caratini hit that about 900 feet.
Bring in Rodney, and you just go, why are you doing this?
The oldest player in the majors.
I believe he's older than me. Just FYI. You don't want me coming out of your bullpen.
You bring him in.
I mean, everyone can agree to that.
Because he used to be with the Cubs, and you give him this opportunity. And he gives up. Schwarber just grins. Oh. Schwarber stands at the plate for 10 seconds, knowing it's gone. So then it becomes a tie game. And regardless of the fact that they won the game and they had a great road trip, they were 6-1 on a road trip. Regardless of that, you're crestfallen with the realization that the bullpen really still stinks. Hudson comes in and he pitches the 10th and the 11th. It's almost over in the bottom of the – or is it the 9th and the 10th or the 10th and
the
11th?
It's the – Castellanos was in the bottom of the 10th, I think. The
it's
one to the warning track.
It's almost over. If the wind isn't blowing dead in –
welcome to Wrigley.
There's two shots that are going out and the game is over on Hudson, Huddy, or whatever they
– Oh, it's Huddy.
They don't have anybody. And I was sitting there and I was texting Tracy Roberts, which is, God help us, what if it goes to Matt Grace? Because then it's over.
Then
First bad home run, Matt Grace.
What I'm always struck by is, it's not that they're, with a few exceptions like Trevor Rosenthal, who they got rid of, they're not all bad consistently. Like Tanner Rainey yesterday.
Was.
Tanner Rainey yesterday comes in. He strikes out the first two guys in six pitches. He's throwing 100 on the black and curve. Then he walks. He walks the relief pitcher who probably has had two at-bats ever in his life. I mean, that's the problem. They're so up and down. Some days Hudson can be good.
Yeah, Strickland.
Fernando Rodney the day before was good.
Suero, the worst pitcher in the history of baseball, sometimes goes 1-2-3.
Might as well just start with a 3-2 count for Suero.
Just always goes.
There's just no consistency.
I got to give credit to one that I really enjoyed the broadcast. I think Dave Jagger's very, very good, and I'm
sneaky
he's
young
great
looking
on radio. You know, and he's very, very good. And Carpenter and FP are the squad, but Jagger
squad
was very
up.
Good. Late in, game, late in the game,
starting to feel like last year.
It was bases
Wait
loaded.
Till Zim comes back.
It was bases loaded, God. And FP said the following: Kendrick's got to be ready in case there's a wild pitch. On the next pitch,
like Tony Romo,
there was a wild pitch, and Kendrick scored. And I started going crazy that FP called a wild pitch.
I mean, FP, for all of our line is moving.
Because they're afraid of Rendon.
Zim is coming back. I think he's been.
Zim is not coming
can
back.
We just not. Can we agree that if Ryan Zimmerman starts starting again.
Stop,
it's a, yeah, but FP has been really good this year, I think. And I've been fairly positive I have been critical of, but I think he's been very. He's, you know.
We'll end with this for the Nats.
He is a homer, but.
Rendon goes 4-for-5. He hits the he's present for the pass ball that ends up getting the lead, and
he's
then hits
the
a single, and he opened up the scoring in a very good pitcher's duel with a no doubter
now?
To left.
I you know
that'd
again,
be like the 320s, right?
329.
I don't know Anthony Rendon. Anthony Rendon has been in Washington for 6 or 7 years. I've never heard him speak. I have no sense of him, unlike Bryce Harper, where you knew who Bryce Harper was. And maybe they don't miss Bryce Harper because Soto and Robles and Eaton are a really good outfield. But if they lose their number one player 2 years in a row to free agency, that sends a terrible message to the market that you're not competitive at that point.
Well,
they got to keep it. They got to overpay for Rendon, right?
The market understood what they did with Harper, and Rendon has been their best player for 2 years now and maybe even deeper than that, particularly with the context of he's putting up numbers in the contract year that are out of this world. They're top of the
really
league
are.
In almost every category. And the
he's
Nats,
third behind
the
Yelich
Nats are
Bellinger.
Looking forward to a windfall of money in this Nassen deal, which will finally come to some closure in
you
the next couple
it.
Years.
So he will come in third in the MVP.
That's right.
Right? Right.
Are you sure?
I assume
I mean, he's
that,
putting on a pretty good run right here.
If the Brewers
so
don't
you
make
think
the playoffs.
Can win, he can carry the team on his back in September?
If the Brewers
I think
don't make
the
playoffs, maybe Yelich.
See what
does.
He does
I mean,
against
Yelich
the Braves in September.
Yelich's numbers are better in every regard.
Are just so good. They're so good.
I just feel like the Dodgers have kind of, it's done, right?
Yeah, they are
the last
attention.
Important game.
Right.
Yes.
Big game they played was in
June.
Yeah.
May, June.
So
yeah.
If he can really push them across the line.
Time for the FedEx.
Outstanding.
All right, we good? We're good with everything?
No, nothing with the FedEx. One winner to win it all.
We're going to have Sands next.
I just wanted to, I don't know.
Okay,
flex
go.
My
no.
muscles a little bit.
Go ahead.
So the PJ Tour finally got what they wanted. There was no confusion. Sands is not sitting next to his board saying, what if this happens? At the end of the day, though, the tournament was still a little bit of a letdown.
Boring.
You had a back nine that meant absolutely nothing. I think the flaw of this design is the most influential moments were when Brooks Koepka had the chance to get another $500,000 by making a 22-footer on the
18th
hole. That's not really what you wanted to see with this. If you look down the line, did you see how Dustin Johnson played?
Plus 10!
Yeah, but
he walked into
$400,000. Mm. Adam Scott, a guy whose most memorable moments from this year were missing 2-foot putts over at Torrey Pines back in late January, made everything outside of 20 feet and walked into a cool $1.9 million for a top 10. Look, I'm okay with Xander Schauffele, Justin Thomas making $3.5 and $5 million. They've had a great little run right here. Patrick Reed, by winning the first FedEx Cup playoff event, got more FedEx Cup points than Tiger Woods for winning one of the biggest events over the last decade. And he ends up positioning himself to win, I don't know, $843,000. This is the juxtaposition of this event and the amount of stupid money against the backdrop of Eastlake and where that community has been for the last half a century. That's tough to swallow. $15 million for an event that doesn't come into the top five wins for Rory McIlroy. Is that what you want to see?
We'll talk to Sands in a moment about this, but at the end of it, when people say, well, he won the players and he won the FedEx Cup. And I'm thinking to myself, so what? So what? These are not majors. I'll ask Steve about this.
Yeah.
They're not majors. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Old Guy Radio and Steve Sands. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Hey, Jude.
Old Guy Radio for the day.
Don't make it bad.
Love John Lennon.
Take this is...
And he's there, but he's not singing or playing piano at the moment. This is a Paul tune. Nigel would want me to make sure to do critical commentary here, and he even wrote me a note saying that this song is written, Jude is Julian Lennon. It's John Lennon's son, and this was around the time that John and Cynthia Lennon were divorced, and Paul McCartney wrote this to help get Julian Lennon over whatever anxiety was going on. Julian Lennon is like, he may be 50 years old now. He may be 50 years old.
Let's check on it.
Could you check Julian Lennon? He is the child of Cynthia and John Lennon.
God, he looks just
Lennon.
Like John Lennon.
Yes.
He is 56. 56.
I am so old.
He was born in 1963.
I am so old. All right. That's a great tune. Steve Sands of the Golf Channel and NBC is kind enough to join us in the wake of the tournament yesterday. And I'll start with Rory, although Michael wants me to ask you about Brooks Koepka's shoes, so keep that in the back of your head. But I'll start with Rory. And I know how much you like Rory, so it made me happy that he won. But he said something to you in the interview that was very interesting to me. It's that he not only wanted to win, he wanted to win with the best score in the tournament so that nobody could talk about the seeding issue, right? Wasn't that important to him? What do you think of that?
That was very important to him. By the way, can I just say that I loved the movie Yesterday, and Hey Jude is a great song. I don't know, what did everybody think of the movie Yesterday?
Kelleher saw it, right? You liked
it? Yeah, I loved
it. I haven't seen it.
It was fun. I thought it was really
fun.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Good. So here's the thing about, I don't want to confuse anybody. They changed the system to make it not confusing. The one caveat to that was the official world golf ranking, where Brooks Koepka is number one in the world and Rory McIlroy is right there, decided on its own that they would take the best score of the 72 holes last week at Eastlake and give that person the win as far as official world golf ranking points. So the importance to Rory was not only to win the FedEx Cup, obviously the $15 million is phenomenal, and to win the event, to stare down Brooks Koepka, which he did not do a couple of weeks ago in Memphis.
And he did it. He beat him by six.
Yes, he did. He put it to him, just like Brooks did in Memphis a couple of weeks ago. So they're 1-1 this year as far as those kinds of things. But the big thing to Rory was, let's get after the best score of the week among the 30 players, because that staggered start didn't really play out as far as best score, meaning the person could win. So Rory wanted both. And that was very important to Rory. So not only did he get the win and the FedEx Cup title, but he also gets the world golf ranking points and the recognition that he had the best score of the 72 holes, which was extremely important, not only to Rory, but to all the guys.
He won it with a par save on 16 and then a birdie on 17 clinched it. I have some questions. The first one is, what do you think, if any, was the effect of the postponement Saturday when the leaders played 5, 6, 7 holes is all they played?
It had a huge effect on Koepka. He was playing terribly on Saturday when all that stuff happened with the weather and the lightning. The timeout for Koepka was huge. Put him in position to get into that final group on Sunday afternoon in the final round. For Rory, it didn't really matter. He was doing fine. He loves that golf course, Tony. It's just it's a golf course that suits his eye. He's now won it twice in the last 4 years. He's the only other guy than Tiger to win a FedEx Cup. I think that one of the things that is not great about the Tour Championship, Tony, is that they play it every year at the same golf course. You've heard the phrase horses for courses.
Yes.
In golf, if you're going to have a title and you're going to have it as big as the FedEx Cup title is, let's move it around. I wouldn't want to play a Super Bowl outdoors on grass every year or indoors on turf every year. You want to move it around so that it's not just the same type of player or a horses for courses situation when a title is on the line like that. So Xander Schauffele, played great again. He's won there before. McElroy played great, has won there before. Justin Thomas was right there. He's done that before. Seems like the same kind of play. Like a Dustin Johnson?
+10. Plus,
he never plays well there. It's just one of those courses where he just never plays well. It's like Tiger at Riviera. For some reason, doesn't suit his eye. So let's move it around a little bit and give everybody a chance every year at the title who earns their way to that stature of the top 30.
That's interesting because the most famous tournament in all of golf is the Masters, which is played at Augusta right. every single year, and the Players Championship is played at Sawgrass every single year, and the tour seems to be happy with that. Do you see any conflict in that?
No, there's not a conflict in that, Tony, but it's totally different when it's only 30 guys. You can make a strong case that even though they're the best 30 of the season, it's the easiest event to win because you only have to beat 29 other players.
Right.
The Masters, there's 90-plus players. You could take a bunch of them away because they don't belong in that event because they can't compete. But the Players is 156 or 144. It's a full field. And the Masters is 90-plus. When it's only 30 guys and it's that time of year in August where the golf course is only going to play one way, I would love to see them move it around and see what happens with that.
So let me get to the seeding issue, which has bothered me and continues to bother me, although I think Rory is a very worthy champion. Koepka got 10 strokes on much of the field and certainly strokes on every other person. Rory then got strokes on everybody other than Brooks Koepka and so on down the line. If you're Louis Oosthuizen, and you're down at the bottom, you've qualified. You won the 30 best of the year. You're down at the bottom. If you shoot, I don't know, it's par 70. If you shoot minus 12, right. You shoot 258. You got a great tournament. You have zero chance to win.
Yeah.
To me, if you're in the top 30, let's go and may the best guy win. This doesn't satisfy me. What do you think of it and what do players think of it?
I'm with you. To me, it should be the way they set it up. Was they ran algorithms that were analogous to years past and transferred it to the system that it's in now to see 1 through 30 how they would all play out. And it worked out this time. I mean, Rory McIlroy's in the top five. Last year, top five wins, they win it all. It's a worthy champion, all that kind of stuff. But take a guy like Louis Oosthuizen, which, by the way, would have been spectacular if Louis would have won the FedEx Cup, considering he has a logo from UPS on his chest.
That's right.
Like is as large as like, you know, Thor's head. You know, it's like phenomenal. His swing is butter, man. It's so good. I think that personally, I'm with you, Tony. I think that it should be a season long race and then you get to the playoffs. And I was saying this the other day on the air and the producer was yelling at me in my ear. They tell me I was talking too much sports and not golf. But, you know, the Giants were 6-7. Everybody in New York was giving up their playoff tickets. They won their last three games, got to 9-7, sneaked into the wild card, won their three road games, and then won the Super Bowl when they beat the 17-0 Patriots. So, to me, let's get to the final, which is the Tour Championship, and then let the 30 guys play it out.
That's how I feel.
If it happens to be Oosthuizen or Jason Kokrak, great. But you know what? More than likely, Tony, the best players will win. The cream will rise to the top. I'm totally with you. And the guys would love that. The guys would love
that's good to
play
know.
It out that way.
That's Absolutely. Good to know. And the other thing I would do, and it's probably I'm saying this because of Tiger. It is my rationalization. I would always let the defending champion back in. I'd always let that happen. I'd go to 32.
They're never going to go to 32, Tony, but I'm with you on that, but here's the way to do that. And the tour really needs to think about this, but they don't want to because they don't own the event. Remember, we've talked about this over the years, but the PGA Tour is in a weird spot. It's the grandest stage in golf, and they own all the events except the four majors.
Right.
So the Masters is Augusta National, the U.S. Open is the USGA, the PGA of America has the PGA Championship, the RNA has the Open Championship. Those FedEx Cup points are 600 points, all right? And a win at a regular event is 500 points. The way to get Tiger, Shane Lowry, who won the Open, into the Tour Championship is very simple. The four majors and the players should be worth 1,000 points, double worth of a regular event. That way, Tiger and Shane Lowry, who won the Open Championship, the two major champions who were not in this past week's field, would have gotten in based on those two victories. You can't tell me that a Masters win is not worth twice as much as the 3M Open. There's no way. So that would have taken care of that. They don't have to raise the field to 32, Tony. I'm totally with you on that. But what they do need to do is make the players and the four majors in a different category than the other events, and that's the way to help those two.
So let me get to this.
That's the way to help the field, I mean, excuse me, last week.
So this is the question that I have. This isn't a major. This is about money. Ultimately, the draw is look how much money this guy won. What do players think of this event? Do they think mostly it's money or mostly it's prestige?
It's a money grab, Jerry. Look, Brooks Koepka yesterday did not play very well. And he had a putt on the last hole.
On 18,
for
yeah.
either $4.5 million or $3.5 million. Now, he deserves that money because it's out there, and I let everybody get paid in all facets of sports and life and work. Who cares? I want everybody to get paid. But it's a money grab, and that's okay. That's the nature of sports. It's a big payday, big sponsorship. FedEx pays a ton for it. The tour has the cash to be able to dole it out, and I think it's fantastic. I just wish that more guys, at the end of the day, only four or five guys could win. It ended up being about three or four guys. I would love the 30 to sprint 72 holes and get after it and not have the staggers start. I'm totally with you. I think it would be much more fascinating to see a guy like a Jason Kokrak, who was 30th, play well on Thursday and have that type of pressure on his shoulders as he tried to beat the best players in the world who were 29 spots ahead of him. I think it'd be really cool.
So what is the shoes that Michael's asking about Brooks Koepka's shoes?
I just wanted to hear you say Nike Off-Whites, but we're good.
I'm too old for that stuff. Koepka can do whatever he wants right now. He's the darling of the sport. He's got that thing that Fred Couples used to have, Tony. Men want to be like him, and women want to be with him. He's got that. He's got everybody.
Welcome my life.
That's exactly right. So, I don't know. I mean, he's got these funky shoes, and he's doing his thing, and he's posing nude in the ESPN or whatever magazine thing, and nobody wants to see us naked, Tony. I can tell you that. So
not even us.
No, I'm afraid of my own shower.
Not even us. What happens now with golf? Golf is dormant for a while.
Not your game. Your game continues.
No, but I mean, you are a professional. What do you do next?
I'm gonna hang out for a little while and reintroduce myself to my family and my own house.
Right.
Well, golf is weird. It takes just a couple of weeks off. So the PGA Tour season, the 2019-20 season, begins in a couple of weeks. So I'll get a little time off, and then I do that great trip that you always love. I go to Asia for 3 weeks. Go to Asia. That's a nice flight. You'd love that.
Do you have the President's Cup? Do you have that?
Yeah, I go to Asia for 3 weeks, come back, and then go to the Bahamas for Tiger's event, the Hero World Challenge, and go straight over to Melbourne, Australia. So not a lot of direct flights from Nassau, Bahamas to Melbourne, Australia.
Right.
But it's all right. It's all good. It'll be fun. I'll watch a lot of football, kind of hang out.
Good.
By the way, Tony, I moved our oldest kid into college last week.
Right.
Is that the most bittersweet day in the history of sports, or
it's,
what?
It's, I mean, yeah, the nice. The first yeah. one. After that, it gets easier. After that, you just say, here's a car. Let me know when you're,
right,
you're there. Yeah.
Well, as we've told our son, Eric, we have three sons. As we told our son, Eric, we've got 10,000 pictures of Brian as a baby. We've got 8,000 pictures of Scott as a baby. We've got 14 pictures of Eric. Right. Nobody cares about the third, so it'll be fine. But,
so Tracy Roberts, who's one of six or seven or something like that,
yeah.
said that for the fifth or sixth child, they don't even know where the child is at night.
It's fantastic.
All right, enjoy yourself.
That's one of the youngest ones or the toughest ones.
Yeah.
Thank
you, Steve. Thank you, thank you. Enjoy your time off.
Absolutely.
Steve Sands of the Golf Channel and NBC. Love It's great to have him on. We'll take a break. We'll come back with email and jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
To my surprise, listen, Martinez started to rise. There a claw getting loose, y'all. Fans jumping off the roof. Folks were screaming. Please, Davey, no. It was so chest paining. Steve Sands is gonna explode. I heard somebody say,
"Earn, baby, earn."
Bullpen inferno.
Earn, baby,
oh yeah.
Earn.
Runners coming round.
Earn, baby, earn.
Matt Grayson Suero. Corbin's coming out.
Up above my head, I see a baseball in the air. That makes me know Chuck Hart is screaming somewhere.
This is the incomparable Robert Berg with Disco Inferno turned into Bullpen Inferno. Oh, yeah. That is a brilliant song. Brilliant song. Happy about that one. We'll get to the mailbag in a second. Let me thank Michael Wilbon and Steve Sands for coming on with us today. Let me thank today's sponsor, Simply Safe. And if we only have one sponsor, we're not making money. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Radio.com. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review.
And if you see Nigel at the U.S. Open, make sure you say hello. He loves talking to littles.
Yes, he loves to do that. Let me personally thank my friend Jody Forstadt, who I know listens, who has looked at my rash over a cell phone photo.
Feels like that should have led the show. Yeah.
When are we going to get the CVS story?
Soon. When we go back on the air for real. The CVS on Coastal Highway in Delaware. It's not.
I'll admit I'm intrigued.
Didn't have a good time.
That plus
from
rash.
Shed, a haiku. Hacking from space and driving around in diapers, astronauts in love. Mm. That's great. It's like Lawyers in Love. That was Jackson Brown. Wasn't that Lawyers in Love?
We need Nigel for that. Let me look it up.
From Paul Pereira. So you're saying it's the bullpen?
Jackson Brown.
I'm saying it's the bullpen. Yes, indeed. Joe Farhad in Minneapolis. Pulling up in front of my daughter's daycare last week, a car coming from the other direction suddenly whipped a U-turn in front of me, cutting me off, and then parked in the street spot that I was eyeing. I was so startled I couldn't even honk. I was wondering what Saliza might think the most reasonable reaction to this would be. I was so startled I couldn't honk, and it's still a little early in Minnesota to have a snow shovel available to perform a snow shovel situation. The kicker, he was driving a Subaru. If only I could love my kids that much.
It's just, the Subaru puts it over the top. What you do is you pull up and you slow ride by him with the look. You give him the look. And then if he looks back and he looks tough, you gun it. Because you're fundamentally a coward.
No, double park him in.
From T. Sabonis in Iowa, I'm at the in-laws for dinner and Mom is watching a Hallmark Channel movie. And I say, is there a gazebo in this one? Next scene, the main characters are in a gazebo. Information for life. 6'6", 298, and 44 years old. Ran 4 miles in a personal best. 47:30
this
morning.
That's a big boy. 6'6", 298.
Big boy. Woo! Jim Flynn in Colebrook, Connecticut. David Ogilvy, a real-life madman. Yes, he was, you know, one of the great advertising guys of all time. Wrote a book of Confessions of an Advertising Man, written in 1968. It is wildly politically incorrect, but the guy could really write. He describes a presentation to the board of a big company and a solicitation for the company's business. The CEO was stone-faced, so Ogilvy asked him what he thought. The CEO paused and said, "That's the mucus of a good idea." I hadn't read the book for years. Somehow that passage came to me when I heard your idea for the My Mother is a Martian television show.
It's a bag of light.
She's
a bag of light.
Yeah. Which is different than what Fernando Rodney's a bag of. Todd Sanzone in Silver Spring, Maryland. This joke may be irrelevant by the time you receive it, since he may have already been cut or because Nigel chopped off the segment, which Nigel did last time, which we apologize for. But is it too late for the Nats to jettison Sean Doolittle in favor of someone named I Do My Job? Yes, S. Doolittle, I Do My Job. Thanks, I'll hang up. What happened last week? What happened with Nigel?
With the email?
He botched it. I mean, what else?
There was a button.
From Ian Frank in Arlington, Massachusetts. If you had told us that you actually did need that mural, bathroom mural, for free, we would have not made so much fun of you. Well, I did. I lost a pile of dough.
Yeah.
I did. Not angry, not regretful, but it happened.
Bitter?
No. From Sean Dempsey, who is he's the manager of a casino in Petoskey, Michigan.
Save that contact.
Hello and greeting to all the Dr. Hoffwaff crew and the man himself. This is not really a statement, but rather a question. Is Andrew Luck the biggest what could have been in the history of the NFL? I'll wait by my fax machine for your answer. No, I don't think that. I don't necessarily.
He played.
Yeah.
I mean, you know basically what he is.
Yeah. You know what you think of, actually? You think of, well, what if Bo Jackson had played only football? You know, what could he have been? What if Jim Brown went the route? Would he have put numbers out there that nobody ever would have touched in history? The most satisfying career, ultimately, is going to be Tom Brady's, because every single drop will be out of it. From Stephen Crawford in McLean, Virginia, I just had two David Aldridge moments. I was watching Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. He did a bit about the early release of the pumpkin spice lattes and PSL. Showed a clip of Leon Harris from the D.C. broadcast, followed by a clip from a Jacksonville morning show host who I actually know. So how do you feel about pumpkin spice lattes? I can't stand pumpkin in any form, so I would not ever, ever get it. And I'm not a latte guy. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
I don't wanna be lonely anymore. Like those skinny little penguins by the shore. I don't wanna trade places in my head. Rather be who I am with you instead. Running scared until I start to fall. Nobody answers when I try to call. My selfish pity is a natural high. It's just enough to make me wanna die.
if I asked you to take a chance? What if I asked to hold your hand? Is there any chance you take mine? What if I asked you to dance for nothing more than one good chance to lose myself inside of your eyes? Sometimes I wanna run away, just you and me and some other place. I wonder if you'd travel that unmapped road just to see how far we could go. What if I said I knew all too well that by taking my hand both the world would surely go to hell? What if I said I was all right with that, that I was willing to make this stand just so long as you're standing here with me?